Okay. Just a little bit about where we are. So if you look back, we started by creating a small database system, and then we went into details about how to design and query relational database. And now we've been talking about XML, which is more of a hierarchical data. And what I'll do now is to talk about a couple of other tech or one other technology in addition to XML that you can also use for the same purpose, and talk about some non-relational databases, because some of you will definitely throughout the your studies and afterwards we're working on databases that are not relational databases, and we'll say a little bit about it because it's not so different anyway. Many of the things we do will be quite similar, although syntax and although the general structure will be very different. So if you have practiced and worked a lot with the database, you should be able to see commonalities across the various systems. But first, JSON. So a little bit about the JSON data structure, and then JSON in PHP. You have, all of you, I guess, or most of you have a little bit of understanding of JSON, isn't that right? I think I asked you to raise your hands on Tuesday. Quite a few of you said you had some JSON experience. Is that still true? Who has worked with JSON or know a little bit about JSON? Oh, not so many. Okay, so it's not so difficult. I mean, if you understand HTML, no, sorry, XML, then JSON should be rather easy to understand. And also, if you understand the PHP array structures. And that's what I'm going to do today, play a little bit around with PHP data structure and see how that would look like in JSON and the other way around. Because XML, PHP data structure, and JSON are different ways to create hierarchical objects. And if you get comfortable using all these ways, then you have a better general understanding of what the hierarchical data structure is like and how you address and how you find and what the strengths and the weaknesses are. So if you look at PHP, so what are the data types in PHP? I mean, if you don't look at classes, because classes are their own animals. They're much richer modeling tool, you could say. But if you look besides that, then we have simple types like integers and strings and we have some Boolean values and floating values. So these are the basic data types. And we do have arrays. We talked about arrays on at the very beginning of PHP, and we have been talking about it a little bit on and off. And we have the numeric arrays, which will be collections of something, typically the same thing, but sometimes in C++, you will have an array containing objects of the same type. In PHP, you can have an array where one element is an integer, another one is an object, one type, a third one is an object of another type, and there's a Boolean. You can put whatever you want inside an array. It doesn't have to be the same type. And then the associative array, we remember that was based on the key. So the elements don't have numbers, but they have keys. You have one value for each of the keys. If you look at XML, what do we have here? In XML, we have simple content, which would be the text content, names of persons, like a name element, like the date of birth element. It contains a text node, and the text node is just simple content. Or attributes. Attributes will always be simple content. We'll talk about this next week when we talk about schemas. So this is kind of starting up the schema. But in XML, we also have complex content. Complex content will typically be elements that contain other elements. So the clubs, for instance, the clubs element is a complex type because it contains different club elements. And club is a complex type because it contains element with a name and the city element and the county element. We're going to talk more about that next week. And JSON is very similar. So in JSON, you have the basic types. You have five different types in JSON, defined in standard JSON: a string, number, integer, Boolean, and null. There is a special type for null. And we have arrays and objects. object would be the same as an associative array in PHP. So these are the basic types. If you haven't looked at this before, then we need to go a little bit of syntax here. But let's start by trying to create JSON structure from a PHP data structure. So you remember, if you look at the skier logs XML file, so the skier logs, you remember, it contains a list of clubs, a list of skiers, and season objects. And under a season object, you have groups of skiers put here, and then you have a list of skiers under each group. And for each of the skiers, you have their log, and the log contains an entry and or several entries. And the entry has a date and an area and a distance. So you have kind of a deep tree structure. This we can create in PHP as well. We're not going to create it to the full depth, but let's try to play around a little bit. Now, so what I've done here is I create an array, and that array it's an associative array. And this is the syntax in PHP for defining associative array. So this means that clubs is the name of the key, and we create a new array as the value of that key. What I'm doing here is I have a very small function that I call toJSON. The only thing it does is that it takes this data structure, which is this array, and encodes it in JSON in a pretty way. So it's a pretty print, so we can have a look at it. So if we use this structure and then try to run this code, sorry, that was not what I wanted to run. This one. So, this is the JSON structure. Curly braces says that this is an object. Inside the curly braces, we have an object. This object has one field, or property, or variable if you want, class variable if you want, and that is the clubs. And right now, the square brackets says that this is an empty array. So what we are creating now is an object that contains one field that happens to be an array. This is similar to here. If you think about the skier's log, or skier logs, the skier logs is an object that contains clubs, skiers, and season collections. You see the similarity? So inside the skier logs, we have clubs, skiers, and seasons. Now, inside this structure, right now we just have the clubs. But okay, so let's add, so besides clubs, we had skiers. And let's that make an empty array also. And inside, besides, see, we also had one or more season objects or season arrays, because these are lists of objects. You follow me? So now I have a structure that has three fields, one for clubs, one for skiers, and one for one season. And if I store this and I run my test just to see what the JSON structure looks like. Now you see the JSON structure says that this object that we have has three fields, clubs, skiers, season, they are all empty. So, okay, so let's fill them up with something. Oops. So let's here. How do we reference the clubs? How can I create a new club? Any suggestions? in this structure? How do I create a new club? Where should clubs be? What should clubs be? Each club should be an object in the club array. So how do we, so we have logs, and that is an associative array. So if I look at the clubs, this is also an array. And this is just a list and regular array, it's not an object. So then I say, okay, the last element here can be something. And what should that be? Well, it should be an object. An object will be the same as an array, where we have the fields being the keys. So what would be one of the keys? It would be ID, because clubs have IDs. So one field would be the ID. And what could the ID be? It could be the test ID. And it has a name, which would then be the, we could do test name of, test name. And it will have a, sorry, city. That can be, just make that Oslo, so you can do something different. So you see, now we have a structure where we have clubs, and the first element in the club is an associative array that has three keys that would correspond to fields in the JSON structure. So if I try to see how the JSON is going to look like, did I not store this? These logs, clubs. Sorry. There you go. So now you see the clubs will be array of objects. One object is this with the test ID. And if I go back to my file here, and I say, okay, we create another. Sorry. Sometimes the indentation isn't so smart on Atom. Okay, now if we do the second ID, is let's call that a second ID, second name. And if I run this, now I see I have two clubs in there. If we like to create a skier, we could try to, oh, cheating wasn't so good, but let's see if we can do that anyway. Okay, that worked. So we say, okay, we have some skier array as well, skiers. Skiers have username. And they have names. And they may have an address. And if you look how it looks like. So you see how we could build up structures like this? And now the question is, which one will be easier? To generate the XML structure by creating text nodes, creating elements, adding text elements to the nodes, adding setting attributes for elements, adding elements to the tree, or just define the structure. So there's a reason why JSON is more popular among programmers than XML. Because this is really straightforward to just type it in a data structure, and you just create a JSON structure by using one of the JSON encoders that they are available in all programming languages. So it's much faster and it's much more popular to do this way. Now, if you want to go the other way, so here in the test, I tried to do it by going the other way. Say, okay, let's we can just shortcut this for now. Just let's try to go the other way, which would be go from a JSON string. And it's a very simple JSON string. What is this? What do I have here? What kind of data structure do I have? We have an object, yes. Because in JSON there are three things. Either it's just a plain simple text. It's not. It's an array. This is not an array. It's just one. And it's an object. And the object has one field or property or variable, member variable, whatever you call it. And that one is the actors. And this one is to be defined. Now, if you try to go to the from JSON, and if you look at what is from JSON doing, it's just decoding this. And decoding will now generate, when I set it to true there, it will generate associative arrays or an array structure, similar to the one I started with before. You follow me? So decode takes a JSON structure and creates a PHP structure. So by doing this, we should see what structure this is going to be by looking at it here. So now we see it's an array. The array has one field called actors, and actors are to be defined. Let's see if we can extend that structure. Let's see. Let's say that instead of actors being just a text, let's make that into an array. So, and that array should have, so there will be one, will be a list of arrays, and what will be inside an array? Typically an object. So one could be a field for an actor, could be the name of the actor, somebody, and it could be, let's do just date of birth like this, and that could be 1910, something like this. And it could be somebody else. And the date of birth could be 54/09/10, something like this. So now actors would be a list of elements, and then we could also then say, okay, we can also, besides actors, we could also have movies. What should movies be? It should be an array. Let's just leave the array empty for now. We don't define the... And I need a double quote there. Does this look okay? I'd like to just do this so you can see how it all matches up. Not that it makes much of a difference, but it's easier to go through if I have some errors, and I may very well have errors. Okay, we have actors. There are two of them. movies, currently empty. And if I didn't do anything wrong, oops, should be syntax error in the JSON. Okay, then we need to figure out what I did. So, I mean, it doesn't solve all our problems, so we still have actors. This one is matching up here. It's there as well. Yeah, they're right. Thanks. I spotted just one. Another one. Double quote. Yeah, I don't have a comma there. Okay. So now we see that we have an error structure where we have two fields, actors and movies. And actors are arrays where the first element is this person, the other is this person, and or array with other fields. So you see that now, from this JSON structure, I have just an ordinary PHP structure. So besides doing this, I can rather say res actors. Sorry, we need quotes here. Res actors, and we can say, okay, the first actor, and then the date of birth. This way, we can go directly in that data structure and iterate or traverse it or directly find the element. Similar way as we would do with XPath. We'd say, okay, now it will be the name and the first position first, and then the date of birth. So 1990, 1010. And 1990, 1010. It's the structure here. So you see that storing hierarchical data would be to generate arrays, an array structure. You just use encode to get into JSON. You pass the JSON to somebody else. They will just run it through the decode into their language. So it might be an PHP array when I started. I send it to the client, which is running Python by some means, and the JSON is just text, and it parses it and gets it into a Python data structure that you could directly access, rather than having this XML that you need to go through XML and parse and iterate and pick up everything. So it's a reason why JSON is popular among programmers, but XML is still quite a lot used for server-server communication and larger systems, because it has so many other tools and supporting technologies. So this is what we did with the movies. Tutorial Point has a JSON tutorial, and this one you may go through to see a bit more details. What I plan on doing at the very end is to talk about other types of databases. So right now we've been looking at relational databases. And since we focus so much on relational databases in the course, and most programming database courses do, students tend to think that relational databases are the only ones to use. But that's not true. Now, today, we have many other different databases that have different properties and can be used for different purposes as well. So I think you should know a little bit about other databases. I wouldn't be able to cover them in much detail, but just knowing a little bit. So that's why I put this one together. So it's kind of here, partly about alternatives to XML and partly about databases beyond relational databases. Any of you heard about NoSQL before? somewhere. So no SQL doesn't mean that there is no SQL. It means not only SQL. So they started by saying no SQL whatsoever, but they find that, oh, you know what, in the bigger picture, SQL may have its place, but it's much more than just SQL. That's what it's not only. So say a little bit about it. Talk a little bit about specifically document stores and XML databases, because now we talked about hierarchical structure. We talked about XML. We talked about JSON. So let's spend most of the time on databases for these type of data. There are others as well, as you will see. Now, you can read this one. DBA means a database administrator. Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, there was no table there because it was just collections and everything else. Yeah, right. So it's all about getting away with the tables. So we have different structures. That's the point here. We don't have tables anymore. You have different structures, and what that structure is depends on the type of database. Relation databases are quite popular, and they are used quite a lot in especially areas where data is highly structured and you have many simultaneous operations. So Dipti and I are going to talk about transaction control in the last week of the semester. And then you get to see why transactional control is important. Now, there are big data. You probably heard the term big data. And the big data, there are 4, 5, 6, I think there are up to 7 Vs, but at least the 4 dominant Vs are these ones. It's volume, meaning that there is a huge amount of data, which means that you may need to replicate, put it on different servers. You have velocity, which means that data move around at a quite a lot of speed. Variety. And this is where relation databases are not so good. You remember that in a relation database, we have to design a schema, and everything would have to adhere to that schema. Now, XML is extendable, and JSON, I could create exactly the structure I want. I can put that in a database. I'm free to do it. Doesn't mean that it will be useful if it's all just mess, but it gives me the freedom, and sometimes the freedom makes sense, because sometimes you can't know in advance what are exactly the types of data you're going to get. And veracity, meaning that we can't always trust data, so what we get is we have to be kind of doubtful about it, and sometimes that's what we have in a typical database is something that we trust very much, but we may not do so. Typical features here, this is not just for relational databases. The NoSQL databases, they also have transactions, maybe different types of transactions, maybe transactions that support other types of operations, but they do have multi-user control and some sort of transactional control. Security is important. We're going to talk about security not next week, but the week after. Query languages, obviously not only SQL. There are other languages, XPath, XQuery would be typical query languages. In MongoDB that we're going to look at briefly, I think, there are other operations for finding content. So you have a find syntax. In a graph database, your query will be a subgraph. And you say, okay, find all the parts of the graph where you could find this subgraph. So you kind of describe a subgraph. Indexes for performance. Program APIs, so you have not only PDO, you have APIs to program PyMongo, for instance, if you would like to program towards MongoDB in Python, and all these other features. So much of what we have talked about or will be talking about in the relational setting also are services offered by NoSQL databases. The ones we're going to talk about here, the last 15 minutes more or less, will be the document stores. They will store hierarchical structures, hierarchical documents. So these could be either XML databases, XML structures, or JSON structures. I hope that you saw from what we did is that both JSON and XML can be considered like a hierarchical structure. You have one object that contains fields that may be other objects or collections of objects that may be other objects or collections of objects. The simplest type of NoSQL databases is called key value store. So it's really just that you have a load of keys, and for each of these keys they point to some object or some type. It's just a value, and the value may be complex, so the value may be a small JSON object. But it's all about just the key, and the key, each of the keys point there. So if you have, let's say you have on your mobile phone, you would like to have an app that collects your running data, then each run will have its key, because you know exactly you're going to run just one run at any time point in time. So you have when you start running, and then all the data will be just a collection of data connected there. So rather than having a relational database and normalize and do joins, you just store them continuously in the tuple store. Graph databases, where you really have graphs, like social networks are really graphs. Who knows who? You can draw out graphs and you can query the graphs. And a few more, many more actually. If you go to the document stores, then documents are kind of like records, but not exactly the same. Because in a record, a row would be typically just a small part. It's normalized. We remember that we normalized it. So if you have complex objects, a complex object will be stored on several tables. So you have me, for instance, my if I have several phones, my phone numbers will be in one table, information about myself will be in another table, information about my working history will be in a third table, and to get every information about me, I will need to join those tables. But in a document store, document database, everything related to me would be in one document, the document about me, where I have all my phones, my working history, all my personal information would all be in one document. So it's denormalized and semi-structured, semi because the structure may vary from one document to the other, but it has a structure in a tree structure way, and much freer, less rigid than schemas that we have for relational databases. XML for XML document stores. JSON or BSON. BSON is something that MongoDB is using. It's a binary JSON format for being more compact and for supporting some querying. And since we don't have tables, what we typically do in a document database is to have collections. Because, I mean, in tables, you will have the content of different types in different tables. But in a document store or document database, you will typically not have any tables. So you want to group documents that are similar into collections. So a collection will be kind of the structuring element. And you can there have keys that you can search. You can search, look at tags and the content. If you look at XML, it will be based on XML model. And you can have XPath and XQuery as the query languages. Typically, you find them into two types. Either they represent XML document in text form, or they represent it to DOM, the DOM form. So if they are heavily using XPath, then typically they are represented as DOM objects rather than just text that you search in the text documents. But you're going to find both. I think the older ones are more text-based, the newer ones are more DOM-based. Now, what I wanted to show you just for the last 10 minutes is an example of MongoDB, because I have MongoDB installed on my computer. And in MongoDB, just to show you how similar it will be to a relational database kind of workflow. So the first thing you do is that you connect. Now, I set up MongoDB without credentials or without any authentication. So that's why there's no username and password. If I set this up with username and password, I will need to pass that as well. But you can see it looks like the connection string in PDO. So we need to say, what is the server, what is the port, and what is the database? In this case, the database is encoded in here rather than pass the database as a separate parameter into the connection string. And if I had to pass a username and password, that would also go there. Then collections. As I said, collections would be same as would be the what you typically would distribute over various tables. So let's go here. So I have this is my the Mongo shell. So let's db get collection names to see which collections we have here. And there is only one collection. See the response? The response is what? What does it look like? It looks like JSON, because MongoDB is based on JSON. So the response is JSON. So what we get back when we ask for names is that we get back an array of names. That's what we see here. And now, in this DB, in this collection, I might see what are the objects that are there. So I can do DB, which is database, movies, which is the collection, find, and I find anything, and pretty print was this. Oh, I don't remember the syntax. I'm not using it so often. Let's see. Just pretty, okay. Now, what does this look like? This looks like JSON. So inside this, I added a couple of records to this. So there's one movie here. And this object ID generated by MongoDB. So whenever we create a new or store a new object into the database, into a collection, it will get a new unique ID. So this underscore ID is a binary coding of this number. And movies have a name field, year field, and the cast field. And the cast is a list of objects. This is one object. This is the other object. And then we have another movie with another ID. You see the... So the JSON we had before, we could just put it right in. And we'll go a little bit and look more at the details here. Because sometimes you like to find not everything, but something. So let's say we would like to find a movie where the name of the movie is Mulan. And then when we do the find, we can pass an object. And this is the JSON way to say this is an object. And the object, what is the key we are looking for? The key is name. And what is the value we're looking for? Well, let's in this case look for Lilo and Stitch instead. Name Leo and Stitch. So what I'm passing is an object that has the field I'm looking for and the value I'm looking for, and hopefully I get that movie. So it finds the movie. And I could also search for, if you find the next question here, I can also then continue by saying, okay, I would like to find a movie where Eddie Murphy was in the cast as an actor. So if you go to the query here, so rather than name, we know that there is a cast field. Sorry, and the cast field has actor. Or a cast field has an array of objects, and these objects have actors. And the actor is, let's see if I find Eddie Murphy. There, Eddie Murphy. So let's do that here. Eddie Murphy. That's the movie we played in. So you see, it's kind of similar what we would have to do in relational database. We have to find in one table the roles, another table the movie, and we need to do a join. And in this case, the join here is already done because we have this hierarchy. So a movie has the cast, has the role, or has the actor. So it's denormalized. We don't need to join. Question? It's also possible to, so the question was whether it's possible to just return, so like a projection in relation database. You don't want to see all the just a part of it. Yes, you can add some filters to what you would like to return. Similar way, you specify a filter for the return. If you like to, I think I'd rather go for the... I have just a couple of minutes just to show how to insert and delete. So you could do insert, and then this is basically a new JSON object. It has a name field and has a cast field. So if you try to do, so it's in the DB movies, insert, and then what we insert is an object or a document, that's what they call it, and name is movie, and cast, sorry, we need the quotes. Cast could be an empty array. If I did this right, this should work. One inserted. So if I go and find everything, you find my movies at the very bottom. It got automatically got an ID. The movie, the cast, and then I can add content to the cast there, add to the array. Or final thing I wanted to show you, I think that's just going to be right in time, is remove. When we remove, and we can remove everything by just doing remove. You remember that in SQL as well. If you delete something, then it will delete everything that satisfies the query. And if you don't do a where, it deletes everything. Now, if you like it to just delete something, then you specify. And again, you specify in the JSON format. So we're going to delete anything where the name is movie. Oops, sorry, I did fine. I should do delete. I found it though. Oops. Movies DB movies is it? No, it's remove, isn't it? Sorry. Oops. DB movies. Isn't that right? I did. What did I write in my lecture notes? Sorry. No, pretty is probably not so good. Print is not a function. Yeah, there it was removed here, so now it's already gone. So if I do find, it wasn't there. And if I do find without a query, it's there. It's gone. So we added it, deleted it, and set the variables. Typically, you would get the ID, and you would modify it, and you would store that one with the ID. So if it finds the same ID, it will overwrite the old one. So you use the object ID that you saw up there. So if you pass underscore ID, it will find and overwrite the one that was there already with whatever you have changed. Yes, you change a new one and overwrite it. So that's because it's an object. So we typically work with the object, and when you're done, you store it and you update. Okay, so we are almost at the end. So NoSQL is not the big topic. We'll talk about this at the very end of the course, saying what are priority one and priority two issues. NoSQL is priority two, so it's not what we expect you to be able to do practical work on, because don't have the time to practice it. But at least know it's there. It's very similar to any other database, but also quite different, because the structure is hierarchical rather than normalized relations where you join. There are also functionality in MongoDB to do a little bit more cross-referencing and joining and things, but that is for a further study, I think, for you. Any questions about JSON, NoSQL? Otherwise, I'm going to be in the lab the next couple of hours, so if you need help on the assignment, I'm going to be there. Thank you.